It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Travel around small-town America, and you're likely to find an old theater holding a place of prominence on a main street. Whether they're showing movies or being utilized for performing arts, these theaters are an important part of the local economy. In his travels as the bass player for the rock group The Clarks, Greg Joseph has performed in many of these theaters and recorded this essay.
All across the USA, long-ignored Main Street theaters lie in a state of restoration purgatory. Can America save its withering social treasures? I've had the opportunity to play in theaters in small towns and big cities across America, and it always brings a sense of excitement. The moment of truth happens when arriving at the venue for the first time and seeing the condition of the theater. The smell of history, the feel, imagining the vibe the year it was built. Red velour, gold leaf trim, black and white tile floors with tons of marble resting on top of it. That's what I hope to see. But it usually isn't that way. Main streets have been dying, and as Main Street goes, so go the theaters. So how do we restore these treasured dinosaurs? First, neighborhood civic organizations or local philanthropists need to step up and get the energy behind a restoration idea started. It takes a lot of money and some questions. To what extent can the theater be restored? Can they afford a complete restoration of the facility down to the last painted cherub on the ceiling? That's the perfect and somewhat straightforward architectural solution. Ever been to the Warner Theater in Erie, PA? It is gorgeous. But I also love to see buildings that have been transformed by creativity for a different functionality. In a Washington, D.C. area movie house many years back, I went to see a first-run film. What a thrill it was to walk into the seating area and discover lounge chairs, couches, and cocktail tables instead of thinly padded plastic seats with numbers. Bar food, cocktails, and waitresses made the experience better than the movie, whichever one it was. Repurposing? I hate that buzzword, but in this case, it works well. Take a look at the Strand in Zelianople, PA, the Lincoln Theater in Raleigh, North Carolina, the Magic Bag in Detroit, Michigan, or the Visualite Theater in Charlotte, North Carolina. Step one, money. Check. Step two, now what do we do with it? The answer lies in recent success stories and a creative board of directors or owner. Leaving entertainment decisions up to an aged community support group won't get you very far. The theater needs to energetically move forward, not be nostalgic about the past. It takes the imagination of artists, actors, musicians, and promoters to figure out how to market the facility. The Palace Theater in Greensburg is a great example of how to fill seats with quality shows. Step 3. Help rebuild Main Street, too. When the bills are paid and the shows are flowing, how do you make your patrons feel like they're attending not just a show, but an event? That's where the local theater must work with Main Street to bring guests in for dinner and an after-show dessert and coffee in a safe neighborhood. I love walking in small-town America and searching around for the unique in America. And when I come upon that theater marquee, my sense of curiosity wants to know a little more about what lies beyond that old ticket window speaker.
An essay by Greg Joseph, guitarist and songwriter for the rock band The Clarks. One of the theaters mentioned in Greg's essay was the Palace Theater in Greensburg. Joining me in studio now are Mike Langer, president of the Westmoreland Cultural Trust, and Taras Virchek, executive director of the McKees Rocks Community Development Corporation. Gentlemen, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Wonderful to be here.
If you have photos or memories of the Roxian in its original state, give us a call, 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. We'd like to hear from you as well as about your hopes for that theater and others like it. You can email us at esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can also reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Mike, let me start with you. The Palace Theater was mentioned in the essay. What impact has the theater had on the economy of Greensburg?
Well, specific to that, whenever you bring in, and we've been averaging about 60,000 folks a year that come through the Palace Theater. We draw from a tri-state area. We had an economic impact study done by Mullen and Lonergan Associates in the north side here in Pittsburgh, and they came up with the number of $7.1 million per year to the local economy, and that's a huge number. So, you know, when you add $7 million to all of the hotels, the restaurants, the stores, everything like that. And what anecdotally, in 2002, there was one restaurant in downtown Greensburg. There are five now. The stores that have opened up as a result of it, Seton Hill University put their performing arts center. A theater is the nucleus to build around it, and the entire economy in all directions will benefit as a result of it. We've seen that in Greensburg.
So this isn't just about following some nostalgic dream. There's a tangible economic result from all of this effort.
It's always nice to follow a nostalgic dream, and there's always a place for that. However, to keep a theater open and to have the support both on a public, private, membership, board membership basis, you have to have a tangible economic impact to be able to continue to keep it open.
Terrace, what effect do you hope restoration of the Roxian will have on the community of McKees Rocks?
Well, Mike touched on a lot of those elements, and in our case, we're really looking for the Roxian to be a catalyst for development on Lower Chartiers Avenue. Lower Chartiers is a compact collection of early 20th century buildings, fantastic architecture, State Route 51, 20,000 vehicles a day pass by. And across the street from the Roxian, we have the lovely Father Ryan Arts Center, which is a magnificent arts education and performance venue. So we have the pieces, so to speak, and again, the missing piece of that puzzle, we really feel, is a Roxian, that destination that brings thousands to your downtown on a monthly basis and then drives development for restaurants, retail, helps to really recreate your downtown. We have existing anchors such as Hollywood Music. We have the Dead Horse Music Cantina, which is a 200-seat venue. So, again, we have the pieces to really fill a niche in the Pittsburgh market for a downtown, and the Roxian is that missing link.
What we have here is a tale of two theaters, one that has been successfully revitalized, another going through that process. Mike, what advice would you offer Terrace here regarding the revitalization process?
Well, as Terrace and I were talking before the show started, there's a number of things that I think that we could help with, and we have offered, by the way, the Palace Theater has offered to bring Terrace out, and we will help them with it. But a couple of things. I think that the first is that a firm business plan, a pro forma, the ability to prove that there is enough market that will sustain the theater going forward. When you talk about going out to the public and asking them to commit to your vision, you have to be able to show that once you get it up and running, that it can sustain itself. I would say that that's probably the biggest issue.
And in the essay, Greg suggested a three-step checklist when it comes to saving these theaters. It's not enough to have money. There has to be a long-range plan, and you have to help rebuild the main street. Would you agree with these suggestions?
Absolutely. It's right on.
So what specific changes do these or specific challenges do these projects present?
Terrace, you want to go first?
Yeah, well, we've been doing the planning. We feel that we have the market. We have a anchor private partner in Drusky Entertainment, which is the largest private promoter, as you both know, in the Pittsburgh market. However, the money is the challenge. We're a small community. We're a small community development organization. We know that we have a $6 million budget ahead of us. So I really think that Mike's guidance is going to be extremely helpful to us because it really is about demonstrating at the end of the day that your business plan shows that you can be a profitable venture, that you can be a sustainable venture. So, again, we know we have the market. We know we have the right players in terms of promoters. But how do you develop that business plan to demonstrate? We feel, too, that the funding community would be receptive to this. But again, they need to see that it's a good investment.
Terrace, in the case of McKees Rocks, there was a comment posted on a blog asking, why does the theater need to be revitalized when people can come into Pittsburgh to see a concert? What do you say to this?
Well, that first of all, we know that there is a niche in the market. There is market demand that's not being met for live performance. So we're going to fill that void. Second of all, that's exactly why the Roxian is so important to our community, is that there is no destination right now in not only McKees Rocks, Stowe Township, but the western communities of Pittsburgh, the airport quarter, the Ohio Valley corridor. There's not a lot of cultural destinations there that you say have in the East End. So we're looking to create that. And again, we feel that there is the market demand there to do it.
412-246-2002 is the number to call. We would love to hear your memories of the Roxian Theater in McKees Rocks. And also, if you have photos, we're trying to get a hold of some of those or identify people who have photos. But memories are about as good as photos. And apparently Marion in Forest Hills has some memories to share with us. Marion, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.
And what do you remember about going to the Roxian?
Well, I was a kid growing up in the 50s. We lived up in Ohio View Acres, and my mother used to drop my brother and I off at the Roxian Theater on Sundays, and we'd watch the double feature. I can remember all the horror films from Godzilla to Attack of the 50-foot Woman down there, and they'd drop us off on an afternoon and leave us there, and we were, you know, we weren't that old. I mean, I was maybe 10, and my brother was younger than that, about 7. And we'd stay there for the couple hours. My dad would come back and pick us up, and we'd go home and have Sunday dinner in the evening. And nobody worried about us being down there. It was all kids. It was great. And it was just nice to have a theater right in your neighborhood. And it was small and accessible. And I have very good memories of the Roxian.
And was it still in its original ornate state?
Well, I, you know, it's hard to remember now. I was a kid then. But I imagine, I mean, this was the 50s. Like maybe 1955, it must have looked pretty good back then. You know, a lot of those neighborhood theaters were really nice, and then they just changed everything into the malls, and nothing. The theater-going experience is nothing like it used to be, where the velvet curtains parted and all of that, you know.
So, Terrace, this sounds like one of the people you're trying to appeal to. I'm guessing, Marion, you would love to see that theater come back.
Well, yes, it would be great. I think all of these local theaters, I see these buildings around here in Pittsburgh even, and I see them in other cities, and I think, I really think that there might be some swing back that people will want to do more things in their neighborhoods, that people are sick of going to the Cineplex or the Multiplex and waiting forever to get in, and, you know, just the experience just isn't the same. So, and these buildings are really works of art. Architecturally, they don't build buildings like that anymore. And I think that just destroy them is just a waste of the history, the culture. We used to have, you know, neighborhoods are big in Pittsburgh. That's really what's important about Pittsburgh. And I'd love to see neighborhoods revitalized, and having a thriving theater could be one way to do that.
Can you be our spokesperson? Because that, I could not say it better myself. You know, it's interesting. This is a national phenomenon. Last year, we joined the League of Historic American Theaters, and you know, what we're learning is that, you know, Mike's experience in Greensburg, this is something that's happening all around the country. And people are rediscovering these neighborhood theaters because they really are the living room of the community. And without that, you don't have that center for activity. And it's very interesting to hear those comments because in addition to live music and concerts, we want the theater to be the living room for the community, from McKees Rock, Stowe Township, Kennedy, where people will come, you know, as they did in the past. They might rent the venue for various events. We are open to having film there. So, again, we want to hear from the community and want to hear their needs as we develop our plans.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guests are Terrace Vercek, whom you just heard there, Executive Director of the McKees Rocks Community Development Corporation, and Mike Langer, President of the Westmoreland Cultural Trust. Terrace, has McKees Rocks done a study to project what the impact of restoring the theater will have on the community?
We're in the process of doing that, Paul. We have are currently working on a series of plans that are essentially feeding into each other to create a comprehensive feasibility study for the theater. So we are actually starting on Monday, working with the Palmer Westport group out of Arizona. They're going to be coming in and helping us with that feasibility study. I know that Mike is going to be one of the people we'll be interviewing for that. So that is in the process of coming together.
Mike, what would you say has been the key to the success of the Palace Theater?
Well, I'm not sure that I could identify just one thing. I mean, clearly, the community involvement between our volunteers, our members, and our board members have just been incredible. And you absolutely need a Terrence, I'm going to say this to you probably 100 times.
And as you see, I'm writing notes here as you speak.
You absolutely need a commitment from the community. And that has been just an ideal situation for us at the Palace. I think the other thing is that you have to keep in mind is that it is important. We at the Trust identify 10 demographic groups that we try to reach out to, and we make sure that we have at least a couple of shows that reaches to each of the demographic groupings that we have identified as key. So, for instance, we certainly have the over 55 Broadway group, we have the African-American teens, and we have so many in between that. And we have a conscious effort to be able to bring everybody into the community, into your theater, to experience live theater in the comfort of the living room, which I probably will use as a term now since I heard it for the first time. It's a fantastic way to think about a community theater.
Where, Mike, does your audience travel from? You know, when they come to the Palace Theater, where are they coming from?
Well, we have an audience that comes from all over. We've sold tickets to everybody in the state, or in the country, I mean. We do a great deal of business in the West Virginia, Ohio, Virginia, Maryland, D.C. Region. Certainly Westmoreland County is our biggest demographic, and then also the rest of the counties in the state. So, but 6% of our audience comes from out of state.
Terrace, it looks like you have quite a challenge here. The Roxian has been described in a recent Tribune Review article as an eyesore on a street overrun with vacant storefronts. The total estimated price of the theater renovation project, including purchase, has risen from about $1 million in 2007 to nearly $7 million today. So it sounds like a daunting task. How are you going to do this?
It's actually a lot less daunting today than it was, I would say, even a year ago. It's been a learning process. That price tag is actually really been an example of that learning. We have now detailed cost estimates. Macero Corporation has donated their time and talents to help us come up with detailed cost estimates. So we feel we have a much more accurate picture now. We did not have that a few years ago. And again, through working with the League of Historic American Theaters, what we've seen is that small community groups make these type of missteps along the way. These historic theater projects are a lot more complicated than just to say a typical historic office building or something like that. There are.
Why is that?
Because the buildings themselves are constructed. Again, it's not what you would consider a typical office building in construction. We ran into, for example, while we were cutting space for an elevator stop, a piece of structural steel that we didn't anticipate being there. And again, it's a matter of having the right people on your team that have experience with historic theaters. So we brought in an architect, really one of the premier architects in historic theaters in Westlake Reed Lasoski out of Cleveland. And again, it's about building that team, building that expertise that helps us to build the partnership that ultimately gets this done. And we think, we feel confident that those pieces are coming together. Again, a big piece of that has been Drusky Entertainment and Brian Drusky coming to us and saying, you know, I need a theater like this. I can put 100 shows a year in here. And again, it just backs up what we're saying in terms of market demand being unmet that we can meet.
How hard has the whole economic downturn been on this effort?
It really kind of stopped us dead in our tracks. We were in the midst of starting renovations. We had had several funding sources dedicated to us that fell apart because you had changes in the economy, changes with government resources and other resources. So that has been in a way, it was a blessing in disguise because, again, it gave us the opportunity to stop, take a look at, again, our team, how we were approaching the project, and realizing that we did not have the expertise in-house to develop a project like this on our own. So it was tremendously beneficial. The other thing that that did happen in the process was the ability to relook at our priorities. And you mentioned the eyesore that Duroxian is. It's such a commanding.
And that's not me. I'm quoting the account that was in the Tribune Review.
I would back that up. Okay. I would back that up because, believe me, there's no one that it bothers more than me each time I come up to the building and I see the impact that it's having on the street. We are in the midst of doing a detailed Main Street plan as part of this planning effort that shows the blueprint for what our downtown is going to become. The Roxian is one of the most commanding pieces on that street. And you're right, it's not helping the curb appeal of the Father Ryan Art Center across the street. It's not helping our existing business owners that have invested so much in their buildings. So to address that, we're using our remaining funds to begin renovations on the facade. That's going to start this spring, and that's going to begin to bring the facade of the Roxian back to its original historic makeup, and again is going to start to create a pretty dramatic change in the streetscape of downtown McKees Rocks.
Mike, we've got just about 30 seconds left, but what's the greatest sense of accomplishment you have with bringing the palace back?
By far, it is like the caller talked about. When we have people coming into the palace that thank the trust for keeping it, for restoring it, for keeping it, and they share their childhood memories of coming to the Palace Theater, the sense of community is just fantastic. I would say that that's my best feeling.
And you get a lot of good comments from people.
All the time, absolutely. We do so well with our audience, but we are very lucky that 50% of the time ballpark, the entertainers that come will remark on stage, this is a beautiful theater. You guys have done a wonderful job. So we take that. We're very proud of the Palace in Greensburg.
Mike Langer is president of the Westmoreland Cultural Trust and Taras Virchek, executive director of the McKees Rock Community Development Corporation, looking to bring the Roxian Theater back to full service. Thanks so much, gentlemen, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Great being here.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, we will remember TV pitchman and McKees Rocks native Billy Mays. That's straight ahead when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.